kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
And ready to receive his word. Father, we thank you for our time. These times are precious with you and each other. And Lord, we ask that you will give us ears to hear and hearts to understand, and that we take of this seed, and that it is sown into good ground, good soil, that it will bring forth fruit. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise God. Well, I have a title today for our teaching, and we're calling our teaching today, Knowledge, Understanding Comes as We Obey. Knowledge, understanding comes as we obey. So often the problems found in Christendom is because we don't always understand. We can have our Bibles, we read them, we have all the promises of God in them, and yet we can find ourselves not always knowing and understanding. And that is why God has chosen in his infinite wisdom that we walk by faith and not by sight. For that very reason. Because those who walk by faith will start to begin to understand what God is saying and his ways. And we know through the teaching over the years to walk by faith is free but not cheap. And each day has its trials and its tests. But as we find ourselves putting our heads down before we close our eyes, we still walk by faith and not by sight. And I want to really emphasize this today, because knowledge, understanding comes as we obey, as we believe, as we allow God to work in us to do it his way. You see, we so often resist. And many times we resist, it's because we don't understand. We are not sure. And so therefore that makes us feel very out of control. But you see, that is the very purpose and plan that God is working in us, is to make us out of control. Because when we're out of control, the only thing you can do is just you let go and you trust God. And they are the best conditions for the overcomer to walk, particularly in these last closing days. If you are still trying to control your walk, plan your life, you are going to find that you will not understand, you will not have that knowledge that faith needs in which to grow and mature. Faith has to be fed. And we know that it is fed by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. But it's not just hearing. It is hearing so that we begin to spiritually understand and have that knowledge which faith requires. Faith has to be fed. The same as if we go to school. We all have an education. The purpose of an education is to teach us. It's to give us a knowledge, an understanding. But that is a lower knowledge and understanding. That is the world's knowledge and understanding. And to a certain extent, it is important. Part of that is survival. But when we become a Christian born again, we find that God presents a higher knowledge, a higher understanding, which the world does not understand. We know this because if they did understand, they would have not crucified our Lord. The Pharisees, the scribes, didn't understand. They didn't understand Jesus. And yet they should have. They were the ones that all the people were looking to. And it's no different today. You see, nothing changes. Nothing's new. You see, still in Christendom, so many Christians are looking to man and not to God. And the reason being is because this knowledge, understanding comes as we obey him. In other words, we do it his way. Why is it we resist? Why is it that we do disobey God? What is it in us that fights wars against this? When God's ways are perfect, he is never wrong. Everything that he has for us is perfect. Yet why is it we still fight? We still resist? It's because we want to be in control. And the reason we want to be in control is because fear is still present. And fear will always misinterpret the word of God and God's ways and what he's doing. It hinders that knowledge, that understanding. Let us turn to John chapter 7, verses 15 to 19. John 7, verses 15 to 19. Now here we have exactly what I'm talking about here. John 7, and let's take it up from verse 15. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How does this man know letters, having never studied?" And Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me." Wow, just listen to that statement. Even though Jesus was the Word made flesh, John 1 tells us this, and yet in his flesh, in his ministry, he reveals very clearly where this understanding, this knowledge, this revelation comes from. He says, "My doctrine is not mine, but him who sent me." You see, what they are saying here is, why has he not studied like we have? Why has he not been studying the scriptures, the Torah? This is what they're raising. And he says, if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? So he's revealing something here that we all need to understand, to help us. Our doctrine is not ours. Our doctrine, the revelation of God's word, is a gift that is given to us. We have no part in this. We're not even to touch it. We're not even to touch any dot, tittle, or anything in altering it. We know that when it speaks right at the end in the book of Revelation. And of course, they are changing the word of God by bringing out all these new translations and getting further and further away from the purity. But that's another subject. But the doctrine that we have is not ours. It belongs to God, and he has given this to us through the Holy Spirit, who's come baptizing us, revealing all that we need to know. In other words, the Lord has come back to us through the Holy Spirit to reveal his word to us. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Because they're trying to trick him. They believe that a demon is speaking through him. They're confused. There's derision. And notice all the time he's not appealing to himself. He's appealing to his Father, the one who has sent him. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. And there is a lot of our problem. We want to be in control. We want to be in control in our understanding and intellectualizing the word of God. And you can't. Your mind, your heart has to be enlightened. It has to be illumined by the Holy Spirit, so that we can understand, so that we can get this knowledge and understanding. So he says, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness in him. In other words, he's appealing to himself because there is no unrighteousness in him. But he's showing something deeper here that we all need to learn. It's the one who has saved us. It's the one who sends us. It is the Holy Spirit who has come back to us to teach us and lead us and guide us. We have substituted the Holy Spirit today for man. And it is a grave sin that is happening a lot in the house of God. We no longer trust in the Holy Spirit's ministry, his empowerment. This is why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, empowered for this very purpose, so that our knowledge and understanding comes as we obey God, because he works that obedience in us. As it says in John, I say it so often, he works in us both to will do for his good pleasure. And that is why we mustn't resist this work. And of course, the people are divided. We know this in verse 12. And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said he is good. Others said, no, on the contrary, he deceives the people. Nothing's changed. Nothing new under the sun. We have it today. And so we're aware the religious system is dominating of its time there. Remember that it was religion that put Jesus to the cross. Religion will always fight against God, fight against his word. It's divisive. And we see Jesus also, he has a ministry as a teacher. And this is what they're raising. How did this man teach? He hasn't been trained like we are. How can he speak words like he does? And he clearly reveals to them how he's doing it, yet they can't hear. They're blinded to it. Why are they blinded? Because they're divided. And when you're divided in your thinking, your mind, you cannot have that knowledge and understanding. You will always appeal to your lower knowledge and understanding. You will appeal to your logic, your education, what you think you know. We know nothing unless it is revealed. That is how the Lord has got us. When we come to that place where we know nothing except the Lord reveals, that is a clear sign we have let go and let God take over. You see, to live and understand the deeper life, we have to obey it. To some, it doesn't occur to them. When finally their eyes are to be opened, that they have to live and walk by faith and obey. And this is why some, it's good news, and others, they're offended. A lot of Christians don't like to be reminded that at the end of the day we obey our Heavenly Father. That is what pleases Him, and many become offended. Why? Because they're using their natural knowledge and understanding in trying to interpret spiritual things. And you never will. You have to become a new creation. God has to put a new mind and a new heart into you to understand that higher knowledge and revelation and understanding, which is not of the world. What Jesus is teaching there is not of this world. It's above man's knowledge and understanding. That is why faith that comes by hearing, reading the Word of God is a higher knowledge, a higher revelation, understanding. And unless a person's mind, intellect, is changed and touched by the power of God, he or she will never understand. They'll try in their limited knowledge and understanding to, they'll try and interpret it, but they never really will understand. And so if you don't understand, how can you release faith? How can you believe in something you don't fully understand? Or you're confused, you're divided. And that is what Jesus was facing there. He knew there was division. He knew, because some of them were saying, he teaches he's got a demon. That's what he's being accused of. They can't discern. They can't test the spirits. And sadly, we have it today amongst Christendom and in the house of God. Few can test the spirits today. We're told to do this in 1 John 4 and verse 1. And it reveals they're confused, they're divided. We have to have this knowledge and understanding that is not of this world. It's not about your education. It's not about how many degrees you've got, or doctorates, or whatever it would be. Nothing to do about that. That is why we have to be renewed. That is why God has to teach us on that higher level, which is supernatural. You can't even get this out of theological colleges, as much as they're trying. To walk by faith and have spiritual understanding, it comes by obedience. As we obey him, it doesn't come by intellectual pursuits and studies. Now, we can read books, don't get me wrong. They can be aids, but they are no substitute to the Holy Spirit's ministry to your life. That is why he has come back. This is what he promised the disciples. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come back to you. And he comes back to us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What for? To teach us, to guide us, to work that obedience in us. That is why, if you want scientific knowledge and intellectual learning, then just do it in the flesh and be in control. Many do that. Some of us have been to college, some of us have been to university and whatever. But that's what we did in our flesh, in our studies. We were in control. But you don't apply all of that with this. On the contrary, you let it go. The same as the Apostle Paul. He had to learn this. Highly intelligent. He could stand his ground in any debate. But he counted it all as dung that he might know Jesus Christ. In other words, he let it go so the Holy Spirit could work in him and through him, and that obedience, and his obedience at times, well, you know what he went through. Very few will ever go through what the Apostle Paul went through for the sake of the gospel and the churches. So if you want faith, you want that spiritual understanding, this can only be obtained through obeying the Lord. As God begins to hone in areas of our lives, as he speaks to us and as he guides us. As I've said before, obedience is one of the most challenging things we face, because in our flesh we're disobedient. In our flesh, we will always do the opposite to God. And so the Lord knows that. He knows that we wrestle, we fight with these things, but he's even provided for that. And that provision is coming into his presence, bowing that knee, acknowledging you're having problems. Telling him, I don't want to obey you. I don't like what you're asking of me. It's too much, it's too hard. But Lord, help me. Help thou my unbelief. Work in me for your glory. As I said before, if you mean that in your heart, is your Heavenly Father going to turn his ears away from that? Not at all. If that is what you want, he'll move heaven and earth to work this within us. And he does. We, all of us, have a hope. There is no trial that you cannot overcome. As difficult and as hard and as big as it may be, and very often our trials are like those mountains. But the Lord has gone before. He has prepared the way. And this is where our faith and our trust comes in. Because we know what God is requiring of us is obedience. And I've said to you many times, when you obey your Father in heaven, he will let you know without doubt how you have pleased his heart. When you do that, that experience of knowing, flesh and blood cannot give you that. When you please your Father in heaven. But it can only be obtained through obedience. See, Jesus had to learn all of this, didn't he? Don't think that it was different for him. Let's remind ourselves again in Hebrews 5 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey. And that is precisely what God is doing with us. We learn to obey through the things that we go through and we suffer. And sometimes we do suffer, and those sufferings are real. And what is the purpose of it? Because you are being perfected. There it is. There is a degree of perfection God is looking for from the believer. It's not sinless perfection. That will be when we're in glory. But there is a perfection of faith, consecration, obedience that God is looking for. Be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus had to do the same. And it was through the things that he suffered that his Father worked obedience in him. Do you not think that Jesus was in dialogue with his Father? Do you not think that he had to wrestle in his flesh, his will, in which to obey God? Certainly, as he was setting his heart towards Jerusalem to be crucified, we know that. We see how the Holy Spirit's working in him, preparing him for that great offering. And God does the same with us. How about Romans 6? Let's turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? So there we are. That is the work the Holy Spirit is doing with us. And we have those options. They are presented before us. That is talking about sowing and reaping. And if we want to obey him, then God is going to start to work on your behalf for his glory, and he's going to start to work it. And don't try and resist. Don't try and work it out. As he's working that obedience within you and I, just let go. Just get out of the way and let him do it. God never makes a mistake over any of us. Your circumstances, your trials, what you're going through are no mistake. They have been planned before the foundation of the world. Your footsteps as a believer are all ordained by Almighty God for his glory. We need to learn more and more the sovereignty of God, how sovereign he is over our lives. And thank God that he is. So I'm a slave to obedience. In other words, I'm a slave to Christ, doing his will. And when we settle that, when we want that, then God will begin to work it. And yes, it will require trials and sufferings, sacrifices. But God never leaves us in limbo. He will always show, he will always bless, he will reveal himself to you as you yield and as you obey. And there is nothing like it when our Father reveals himself in that unique way. Nobody else can do that. And you just know that it was worth it, obeying our Heavenly Father. And so I allow and submit myself to obey or disobey. I have a choice. But remember, the whole walk is about sowing and reaping. Life is about sowing and reaping. We see it in the world, we see it in governments, we see it in families, business, your own family, your own children, everywhere is based on sowing and reaping. You see, as God speaks to us, as he leads us and as he guides us, it is always going to be on the basis for his glory. Everything that God does to us, every teaching that he teaches us, if it's anointed and by the Spirit, it will always point to him as the source, as the one who gives the revelation, the one who helps us in our weakness to obey him. That is what we should always look for and hear when we put our ears to teachings. There are teachings out there in the world you should not put your ears to, because it is promoting self, man, his ministry, his organization. That is why so many Christians, sadly today, are pressurized in giving, giving, giving. Freely you have received, freely give. Even though it's cheap, it will cost you everything. You see, the real cost of the Christian walk is not in your giving, which man wants you to do. It's in the surrendering up to the obedience of God. That is the difference. And any ministry, minister, who is walking by faith, doesn't have to beg, because God is providing. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Why am I saying that? Because it is God who's in control. He's the one that's leading and guiding. There's so much of these ungodly pressures that are put on Christians today in a lot of these churches, robbing them from this knowledge and understanding in which to obey God. The enemy's a master at this, you know. He knows how to deceive. He knows how to try and get us to look to man and not God. He's clever. And we need to pray and intercede for the house of God, that their eyes will be opened, that they will see. We need to pray and intercede for the church today, that many believers will get free from control, from shepherdship, from bondage. We really do need to pray for the church in these days. She's so blind to what is happening in the world. She buries her head in the sand, doesn't want to see, or it'll pass away in time. Doesn't. We're facing spiritual warfare like the church has never faced before with the powers of darkness, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, we're told, and in Ephesians 6. Many believers haven't got a clue about spiritual warfare. And again, only the Holy Spirit can reveal these things to us. He's the only one that can raise us up in the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why am I stressing all of this? Because we're talking about knowledge and understanding. We need our minds to be touched. We need to put on the mind of Christ, to have our minds renewed. And that is what he's doing. And it comes also as we hear the word of God, as we hear by the anointing that God sets in the church, that same anointing that was on Jesus when he gave his first sermon. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. You know it. That same anointing is the anointing that must be in the body of Christ as well. That he works this through the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Ephesians 4. To equip the church. To bring the church into a spiritual standing with God. We no longer have time to listen to these man-made sermonettes. They may be very eloquent. The delivery may be exquisite, superb. But you don't grow in faith with that. God has called some men to the ministry who stumble and stutter over their words. But you know what? They have the anointing upon them. And that is what gives us the knowledge and understanding in order to obey God. They may speak in the most simplest terms, and yet they received it by the Spirit. The same as Jesus, what I read back to you in John 7, he said, it's not me that speaks. This is not my doctrine. I speak only that what my Father gives, reveals. We can only speak what the Holy Spirit reveals to us. And what is he revealing? I believe tonight, today, he's revealing that he wants us to have a greater knowledge and understanding in order to obey him. That's what he's saying. It's not rocket science. It's not trying to analyze or intellectualize. Is it or isn't it? We either know or we don't know. Well, God is on the throne, brothers and sisters. You know, when the Holy Spirit is honing in on areas, don't evade it. If you do, it affects your faith. It affects that spiritual understanding. And you know what? You stop growing spiritually. That is the tragedy. We have to continue growing. God is raising sons in these last days, maturing in the faith. There are many of our brothers and sisters, they just don't want to grow up spiritually. But we have to. We have to. If we're to stand in these last days, if we indeed we're to obey him. You see, obedience might not always be fully understood, but it's what we want. Let's finish with Hebrews 11 and verse 8. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. I love that. There we are. He's obeying. He's trusting God. Hasn't got a clue. He's let go. And he goes out to receive this inheritance that God has for him. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And that is you and I, brothers and sisters. We go out, we don't know where we're going, we don't know what he's doing, but we know that we have an inheritance that is in Jesus Christ, set for us in glory. And that is how we're to walk, and that is how Abraham learned to obey God. He wasn't fully obedient there in verse 8, But God worked in him to the point of his obedience, where he's willing to offer up Isaac, his son. And he knew that God would raise him up if need be. God was testing him to see if he would obey to the ultimate. And he did. And how did he get this? Right back here in verse 8. He obeyed God by faith. He didn't try to intellectualize it. He didn't want any proof. He didn't need it. He just let go and let God take over. And that's what you and I have to do, brothers and sisters. Because if we continue to hold on, it is a sign fear is still stopping me and hindering me. And I will not get that knowledge and understanding of God that comes by obeying. It is quite simple, actually. We complicate it. Let's trust our Heavenly Father. He loves you more than you will ever, ever realize. And he's not going to let you be hurt. He has given his angels charge over you. Read Psalm 91. He protects you. He watches you day and night, every second moment of the day. Your feet are ordered by God, by the Holy Spirit. It's time to start trusting him. Because we haven't a lot of time. We're seeing the God of this world taking over. It is getting blacker and blacker out in the world. These are all the signs that the Lord Jesus is coming soon. How we need now to walk by faith. And there we've got it there with Abraham. He heard God's voice, and he and his family just left on that which he heard. And God begins to reveal in his life, in his walk, he begins to show him more, doesn't he? He makes covenant with him. He starts to get a clearer understanding. You see, you will never get that real knowledge and understanding, that revelation, until you have taken those steps of faith. That is how God does it. If you do not take those steps of faith, you don't get it. The moment you obey, you take that step of faith, then your ears and eyes and heart are supernaturally open and you see the bigger picture. You begin to hear God. You see what he's saying and what he's doing. Your faith is quickened by obeying him. That's what it does. Yes, obedience is better than sacrifice. Yes, amen to that. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. Knowledge, understanding comes as we obey him.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.